We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16.
Good morning, anybody. My name is Dave Wilson, and if you can hear the sound of my voice and all this stuff works, we're about to embark on an adventure together, an adventure called Dave Wilson's part of the Dr. Stanley Monteith radio program, or Radio Liberty. I have to remind you, of course, that the views expressed on this live radio program may or may not express your views. They certainly may or may not express the views of the station, the sponsors, or whatever that are responsible for getting the program on the air. They're my views. They are the views of our guest, Andrew Skousen, this morning. Andrew, are you there?
I am, Dave. Good to be with you again.
Good morning. It's nice to hear your voice, and the analysis that you sent to me last night about what we can talk about today was really insightful and had a whole lot of different things on it that I hadn't really given any thought to, and I'm hoping that we can clear up a couple of issues this morning as we begin to talk about what's going on in the world this week. Beginning with that thing going on over there in Britain with the Scottish independence thing. Now, that hasn't been played up too much in the news over here, but really, it's a rather important event in the events of the world going on. It has impact on the powers that be, and they have a certain desire for a particular outcome. How about that? Can you talk a little bit about that so we might understand?
You bet, Dave. Well, the Scottish independence is something that the globalists fear, and this is something that they worked very hard to campaign against. Scottish independence, Joel says, is a wonderful and ancient dream, but Scotland is no longer the land of tough fighters like William Wallace and his band. It's become soft and modern, and Scotland now has both feet deep in the media and the business establishment, like most countries in the West. This past month, the establishment pulled out all the stops to play upon people's fears about independence. Even the Queen was rousted out to campaign against independence in a noncommittal sort of way. Every major political hack in the UK was beating the drums of fear, trying to persuade Scotland not to leave the Union that they so often complain about. And it worked. Fear trumped freedom. That isn't to say that there isn't a reason for fear. Scotland would have to take on its share of the UK's huge debt load right at a time when the Scottish economy is slow and its own socialist welfare burdens are high. And in fact, Scotland is, with their socialist burdens, are getting worse with the constant flow of foreign immigration, which of course is courtesy of the imposed open borders caused by their enrollment with the EU. Scotland would probably have to fight for its share of the North Sea oil revenue, which all entities in the UK covet. 90% of British crude is extracted from Scottish waters, which are valued at about £24.4 billion, which is about $40 billion. But all of this oil was developed with UK funding, so it would be difficult to sort out who owns what percentage. You can bet the UK isn't going to let go of that revenue without a fight. But even socialist countries that have good oil revenue, like Norway and the UK, still can't seem to say no to the inexorable growth of benefits. And while oil revenue does pay for the lion's share of these socialist benefits, all socialist nations still deficit spend after consuming all that revenue. Because once you open the floodgates of benefits to people, they will always want more and more, and it will grow and consume more than all revenues possible.
I think it's interesting, Andrew, if I can interrupt there for a moment, that Scotland's involvement in being a socialist type of government where everybody has got their hand out for something or another typically won't work. It never has worked, and it won't work here, and it won't work there. Can you explain just off the cuff a little bit about not the history of Scotland, but how is Scotland related to the UK? Scotland is an independent nation, right, but a member of a consortium, sort of, or what? How does that work? I'm not really sure.
That's right. So Scotland is still considered its own country. It has a border. It's grouped together with the UK. You know, there's Ireland that's similarly grouped. And Scotland has a semi-autonomous form of government. It has its own parliament, but it is restricted to legislating on things like education, healthcare, housing, tourism, transport, a few other areas.
Mm-hmm.
And it can only legislate on policies. It can't legislate on finances, because Scotland doesn't have any control over their own money. They don't regulate their own taxation. They don't keep their own funds. Everything goes to the UK Parliament. And so the UK Parliament determines everything about immigration, defense, foreign policy, employment, trade, energy, oil policy. So all of Scotland's budgets are completely dependent on basically grants allocated by the UK Parliament. And obviously, if Scotland were to gain independence, it would mean that they would have to sort all that out to be able to keep paying the bills. And it would be a very difficult, well, almost impossible task, if they did gain independence, to sort out the income stream there and get that all flowing again.
Seems like a very complicated relationship.
Yeah, it certainly would be, and it's definitely evolved over decades. But another difficult aspect of gaining independence for Scotland in regards to this monetary and fiscal side is that Scotland doesn't have its own currency. It also doesn't have a central bank. It wouldn't have the means to deficit spend that most other countries like to do. If Scotland were to go their own path, then they would have to create their own currency, which isn't impossible. Every country that breaks away usually does. But it would actually force Scotland to stop most of its welfare outlays and run with a budget completely restrained by taxes, which would be a great thing for any nation for reining in profligate spending. Of course, this would require tremendous austerity measures. They would have to really pull in all of their benefits to keep themselves within their means. And then
people would really cry out about that. That would be the quickest way to get notice, I'm sure, among their population who haven't been paying that much attention to it.
Yeah, and people don't realize how much they enjoy from government that is beyond government's means. And they would probably quickly call out to rejoin the UK.
Hold that thought, Andrew, and we'll be right back with a Friday's edition of the Dr. Stanley Monteith Show. Don't go away.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes, or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on!
In an elegant New York City mansion, billionaire Michael Bloomberg sleeps safely. A team of armed guards protects Bloomberg. But what about you? Bloomberg doesn't care about your safety. Michael Bloomberg wants to take away your right to self-defense. He's pushing extreme gun control in Congress, and Senator Udall and Barack Obama are helping him do it. Bloomberg spends millions to elect gun control politicians like Udall, and Udall votes for the Bloomberg gun control agenda. What will Bloomberg want next? He wants a ban on popular rifles, restrictions on magazines, new anti-gun Supreme Court justices, requiring federal government permission before you can give a gun to a lifelong friend or family member. Bloomberg wants to take away your rights. He wants to eliminate your freedom. Defend your freedom. Defeat Senator Udall. To learn more about Senator Udall's voting record, log on to NRAPBF.org. The NRA Political Victory Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising, paid for by the NRA Political Victory Fund, www.NRAPBF.org, and not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. By this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Yeshua, Jesus, has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Yeshua, Jesus, has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have already heard was coming and is now already in the world. 1 John 4:1.
Hi, everybody, to the second quarter hour of a Friday's edition of the Dr. Stanley Montee Show. I'm Dave Wilson talking with Andrew Skousen about what's been going on this past week all over the world. And Andrew, we've been talking about Scotland and how really it's not a Scottish thing, albeit important to the people who are there. But the powers that be have been observing this because this is something that can really infect the world. And many, many people will begin to say, well, if it can be done there, we can do it ourselves. And that's not something that the powers that be really want to happen, is it?
That's right, Dave, because the movement toward secessionism and smaller groups breaking away to have their own independence and possibly have a freer sort of state by establishing themselves in a separate way is definitely the opposite of what the globalists are working towards. Their whole goal is to make people give up national sovereignty and join up to larger groups like the EU and the UN. And this is definitely an infectious movement. I mean, you've seen some of the bigger protests that have been cropping up in Spain with the pro-Catalan movement, where the northern productive sectors are trying to break away from the socialist ties that are always drawing away their productive tax funds to feed the rest of socialist nations. This is happening in Spain. It's happening in Italy. We see it in so many places. And there are a lot of people that are saying this is an infectious movement, that the independence movement is eventually going to break away. And in fact, I've got a quote here from Pat Buchanan, who put out one of the best essays on the independence movement, saying it is unstoppable. But Pat doesn't really understand the power of the conspiracy for global power and why they aren't going to allow this to happen. Let's just read some of this from Pat Buchanan. He says, quote, "No matter how the vote turns out on Thursday in Scotland, either for independence or continued union with Britain, the disintegration of the old continent appears almost inevitable. Already the British government has conceded that, even if the Scots vote for union, Edinburgh will receive greater powers to rule itself." And they'll probably get a few bones, but Joel pointed out in the World Affairs Brief last week about how all of the bones that are being thrown to Edinburgh for their own greater autonomy are the same kinds of things that the UK is trying to give up to cede to the EU in the future. And we definitely see this as a continual process. And so any extra so-called freedoms that are given to Edinburgh will actually be rescinded or taken away because of their enrollment in the EU still via the UK. And so it's going to be moot someday. So back to Pat Buchanan here. He says, quote, cheering for the breakup of the UK are Catalans and Basques, Bretons and Corsicans, Tyroleans, the Venetians, Flemish, all dreaming of nations of their own, carved out of Spain, France, Italy, and Belgium. Europe's secessionists have waxed ever stronger since the last decade of the 20th century, when the Soviet Union and Yugoslavia splintered into 22 nations, and Czechoslovakia broke in two. Abkhazians and Ossetians then broke from Georgia as Transnistria fought free of Moldova. Chechnya went to war twice to escape from Russia. Secessionists now battle Russia in Ingushetia and Dagestan. But none of these are succeeding, Dave. And so let's finish here with Pat. The call of blood, history, faith, culture, and memory is winning the struggle against economism. The Western materialist ideology that holds that desire for money and things is what ultimately motivates mankind. Pat goes on to cite the economic arguments by a Scottish historian, Niall Ferguson, somewhat of a transplanted neocon longing for the return of a benevolent empire. He says, quote, here is Niall Ferguson in the New York Times wondering how these crazy Scots could think of seceding from England. The economic risks are so glaring that even Paul Krugman and I agree it's a terrible idea. What currency will Scotland use? What share of North Sea oil revenues will go to Edinburgh? What about Scotland's share of Britain's enormous national debt? A Scottish vote for independence, Ferguson wails, would have grave economic consequences, and not just for Scotland. Investment has already stalled. Big companies based in Scotland, notably the pensions giant Standard Life, have warned of relocating to England. Jobs would definitely be lost. The recent steep decline in the pound shows that the financial world hates the whole idea. End quote. So there are a lot of these people that are jumping onto the same fears and drumming into the Scottish people these same fears without anyone really taking the opposite stance and saying, hey, there's a possible path forward here. Which Pat Buchanan brings to a compelling light with a notable comeback. He says, quote, Niall Ferguson is not the kind of fellow who would have been out there at midnight dumping the King's Tea into Boston Harbor in 1773, and he would surely have admonished those stupid farmers on the Concord Bridge if they didn't put those muskets down and would wind up ruining the colony's trade with the mother country. What currency will we use? Ferguson would have demanded of Jefferson in Independence Hall in 1776. And it's really true, Dave. You know, Scotland could find a way through a lot of their difficulties, but people today are just not in the same mindset for freedom. If you go back to 1776, it is astounding how strong the initial feeling was for freedom that our founding fathers had to be able to break away from England and from the mother country for fairly minor infractions. You know, we were quite well taken care of here. And, you know, if we were to transplant most of us back to, you know, the 1770s and under the rule, I mean, there was a great amount of difficulty that the mother country had in defending these sprawling fledgling states out here, and they were spending a great deal of money, and so they were saying, okay, well let's have them supported a bit, and so they put in place taxes, which seems to make complete sense. And the major complaint was, well, hey, you know, we don't have any representation here. Can you imagine anyone nowadays, you know, saying, hey, we need to have the freedom to have enough of a say for every little bit of taxation we get, you know, that they would actually break away and mm-hmm. cause this whole new nation to start? It's absolutely incredible the different mindset that we have now. People are so dumbed down through public schooling and things. The idea of
liberty comes from a Judeo-Christian and, if you will, biblical mindset, where the people, whether they were believers in Christ or in Jesus as the Christ or not, they had a sense of the morality that came from the Bible, and they knew that freedom comes from, is a right that's granted by God. And today we've drifted away with that, like you say, because of the educational system and so forth. And it seems to me, Andrew, that the world is at war all over the place because of the fact that various and sundry groups want autonomy. That's happening in Syria. It probably won't come to bloodshed in Scotland or anything, but it has come to bloodshed in places like the Ukraine and the Crimea and so forth. It's so important for us to understand where these things come from and why the United States has succeeded, where these won't succeed more than likely because they're dependent upon the nature of man. Let's talk a little bit about what is going on back there in the, or over there in the Middle East. Can we, Andrew? That's important too, because the powers that be are deeply ingrained in trying to get us into another war with our soldiers there, further diluting the ability of our armies to protect us. And Congress, yes, just the other day has gone along with this undeclared war, and only, it seems to me that only Ron Paul is the one that's holding their feet to the fire about what's legal and what's not. What did you have to say about that this morning?
Yes, it's definitely true, and we are definitely swayed here by what the media tells us, and there's certainly been plenty of propaganda announcements about how big ISIS is, the probably false or certainly staged beheading videos are having a significant effect on public impression of ISIS, and this is driving a lot of the effect on Congress. This week, a majority of Republicans and Democrats in the House voted to pass a spending bill that had an amendment in it to quote-unquote train and quote-unquote arm Syrian rebels to fight against ISIS, they say. The same provision had little trouble passing the Senate yesterday, 78 to 22. This vote comes after multiple days of debate in which politicians, you know, spent time saying that they were quote-unquote concerned about sending aid to rebels that were clearly going to fight against Assad more than ISIS. But most of the politicians caved in to the neocon sentiment that ISIS must be attacked by the U.S. Naturally, the bill was passed as an amendment to a stopgap spending bill rather than address the subject directly as a war bill that it really was. The amendment doesn't actually provide new funding, which would have been unpopular, but allows the Pentagon to rob Peter to pay Paul, shifting funds around. But they'll be back to demand more funds from wherever they're taken from, as lobbyists decry the lack of funding for critical new weapon systems. Critical defense always gets their funding. So far, as you pointed out, Ron Paul has spent a great amount of time talking about this. His son Rand Paul stood up in Congress just to bring them to task about their evasion of the whole war powers issue. Paul took Secretary of State John Kerry to task over the U.S. strategy to defeat ISIS, knowing that it can't be done with air power alone. In fact, General Martin Dempsey is already preparing the way for troops, predicting that they would be needed to finish the job, which will never be finished. The New York Times had a quote, let me find it here, quote, in testimony before the Senate Armed Services Committee, General Dempsey said that while he was confident in the ability of the coalition of American, European, and Middle Eastern governments to stop the Islamic State, he could not completely close the door to eventually asking Mr. Obama to commit ground troops to fight the group known as ISIS or ISIL. End quote. And Obama, of course, is playing the reticent warmonger here. He claims that if
right.
ground troops will never go there. Of course, we know that there already are ground troops there. To a certain extent, And so we'll see if they ever openly commit to a large-scale invasion force again.
All this has is reminiscent to me, as I think I even told you last week, or maybe it was the week before, or about the way Vietnam started. I was over there stationed in Japan in 1962, and there were things going on in Japan with the aircraft of our squadron. They were flying low-level reconnaissance things over the Ho Chi Minh Trail. Nobody knew about it. It was a top secret. He didn't even talk about it in the bar after a happy hour had been going on for several hours. And just a tiny little group of people, and it grew and grew and grew. And this sounds like exactly the same thing to me. Doesn't it sound like that to you?
Yeah, it does. It does. And I'm certain that there's a lot of covert intelligence gathering going on over there that they don't admit to, with a lot of quote unquote boots on the ground. And you know, back to Rand.
Oh, here we go. Sorry about that. The break is coming up at the bottom of the hour. Don't go away, folks. We'll be back with Andrew Skelton at the Skelton Booth Minute.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes, or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on!
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering a high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. For your free consultation and no-obligation quote, give Doug a call at 303-517-8742. Or visit us on the web at squareroconstruction.com.
You can buy gold just about anywhere in the world from all kinds of different dealers. So why do you use the Patriot Trading Group?
20 years of service, just like that. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, just like that. Lowest prices, just like that. No solicitation, just like that. Buying or selling, just like that.
For all your gold and silver needs, call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. Just like that.
Hi, folks. Guess what? We don't live in the land of milk and honey. We live in the land of farm factories, laboratory processed, and genetically modified food. Yikes! That's Frankenfoods! And that's a food and health crisis. But hold on. I have a solution. Eat non-GMO organic superfood products. Ask me, Vita, about a $50 gift card for free product. Call 518-530-1060. That's 518-530-1060.
Walker's Quality Cage and Feed Supply won't sell you anything they don't feed their own pets. We sell quality feed for mice to horses, premium pet food, and wild bird seed custom cages and supplies at the best prices in town with a 2% cash discount. Feed your animals quality food now or pay your vet later. Ask about our special of the month for KHNC listeners. That's Walker's Quality Cage and Feed Supply, located at 4298 Kipling Street in Wheatridge. That's 4298 Kipling Street in Wheatridge. 303-424-0305. 303-424-0305. Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19 through 21.
Well, we're back at the bottom of the hour with another edition of the Dr. Stanley Monteith Show. My name is Dave Wilson. We're here with Andrew Skelton this morning, as we are most every Friday. I want to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, first of all, thanks for listening. Secondly, please keep Dr. Monteith in your prayers as he's away from the microphone for a while. He's trying to get a little bit of rest and relaxation, and your prayers will help. Prayer for him and for the people
who work up there at Radio Liberty, trying to bring you these programs and additionally all of the resources that are available up there. You can access the resources, of course, at radioliberty.com or calling 800-544-8927. We're talking with Andrew Skousen this morning. They put together something called the World Affairs Brief. You can access that at worldaffairsbrief.com. And if I'm not mistaken, Andrew, they might be able to get a free sample copy of the brief if they talk real nice to you. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. If they just send an email to editor@worldaffairsbrief.com, they can get a free sample of the current brief. It's just a one-time event, but they're welcome to see that. On worldaffairsbrief.com, we also have an excerpt from the brief posted there every week, and lots of news stories. That I actually maintain that website, trying to keep lots of the alternate news sites up that we find useful as we peruse the news and try to sort through all of the different information that's thrown out there to bring some of the other points of view to people's news to digest each day.
It's a good place to have your homepage on your computer browser set up, because it brings right away, right in the middle of your screen, free and postpaid, as they used to say, a lot of interesting insights with access links right to the media source that Andrew and all the other people who work over there at World Affairs Brief have gotten together to keep you up current on what's going on. And so much is going on. We've been talking briefly this morning, as you know, about Scotland's urge for independence and the vote that failed but came closer than the powers that be might want it. And now we've kind of moved over into how the United States is unconstitutionally moving towards another war, although Kerry, Obama, and other people of their view will not call it that because they need to have a declaration. Did we not talk about, Andrew, whether or not the commander-in-chief is actually the commander-in-chief without a declaration of war, according to the Constitution?
You know, it's true, and there's a great negative, you know, it's a meme, I guess, throughout the U.S. Media to not call this a war. You know, war, you know, Obama has played as anti-war. A lot of his constituents, you know, consider him as anti-war and voted for him because of his, well, essentially political speak about being anti-war. And, mm-hmm. and so it's very important for Obama to play this down as much as possible. He always plays reticent. He always tries to delay things. He always acts like he gets pushed in, you know, the globalists control both left and right parties here. They control both Republicans and Democrats, of course. And they will trot out the neocon Republicans to supposedly pressure Obama into acting on ISIS. And this week, of course, we saw Obama's past attempt to try to get Congress on board to support him and back him up so that he doesn't take all of the negative publicity blame that this false war on ISIS will eventually bring about. And Congress succeeded in passing this spending bill, passing a spending bill with this provision to arm and train Syrian rebels, which will, of course, go just toward fighting Assad rather than actually fighting ISIS. I mean, even journalists on the ground out there can't rely on a rebel faction that is proclaimed anti-ISIS to not switch sides and be out supporting or giving their arms to ISIS or actually, you know, joining up with ISIS the very next day. It's a very fluid sort of you know, changing atmosphere out there in Syria with the so-called Free Syrian Armies, the FSA. And ISIS itself seems to be a very contrived thing. As we talked about last week, Dave, you know, the sex of ISIS are definitely everything is working in favor of things that the globalists have been pushing for a while, which really makes us wonder how much of ISIS hasn't been created or is at least controlled by the globalists themselves. Paul Joseph Watson actually did an outstanding job summarizing the arguments that the West has been complicit all along in creating ISIS. Here are some excerpts from his article this past week, commenting on General Dempsey, who we just quoted as saying that there would probably need to be boots on the ground eventually about ISIS. Watson says, quote, during his testimony in front of the Senate Armed Services Committee, America's top military official, General Martin E. Dempsey, admitted that the United States' Arab allies in the Middle East are funding ISIS. Dempsey, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, was asked by Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, do you know any major Arab ally that embraces ISIL? His response, I know major Arab allies who fund them. And, of course, these are, you know, the Saudis and Turkey, at the very least. Not to mention us via the Saudis. Continuing the Watson quote, Graham responds, who is obviously trying to help the Arab allies with their justification for them. He says, yeah, but do they embrace them? Responded Graham. Dempsey said, they fund them because the Free Syrian Army, FSA, couldn't fight Assad. They are trying to beat Assad. I think they realize the folly of their ways. In reality, such quote-unquote folly is set to continue after President Barack Obama announced a plan to arm and train Syrian rebels that is set to be given the green light by Congress, and it now has, of course, despite the fact that so-called moderate rebels have defected to fought alongside and given weapons to Islamic State militants. As we have exhaustively documented, innumerable examples prove how Washington-backed FSA fighters and ISIS militants were moving closer even before the two groups signed a non-aggression pact last week. In July, it emerged that several factions within the FSA, including Al-Athar, Ibn al-Qawm, had handed over its weapons to the Islamic State in large numbers and pledged allegiance to ISIS. End quote for now. Well, it's important to see this because it shows how increased funding of rebels is a very slippery slope. It shows how the U.S. is continuing to get weapons into the hands of ISIS without doing it directly. You know, this is...
And we're not... Yeah, one of the things that hasn't been clear since we began back in Vietnam, Korea was the last really war where we knew what we were doing, is what does a victory look like? You never talk about that at all. And we'll talk about that briefly when we come back from this train talking with Andrew Galvin. Don't go away.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on!
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering a high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. For your free consultation and no-obligation quote, give Doug a call at 303-517-8742. Or visit us on the web at squareroconstruction.com.
Hi, folks. Guess what? We don't live in the land of milk and honey. We live in the land of farm factories, laboratory processed, and genetically modified food. Yikes! That's Frankenfoods! And that's a food and health crisis. But hold on. I have a solution. Eat non-GMO organic superfood products. Ask me, Vita, about a $50 gift card for free product. Call 518-530-1060. That's 518-530-1060.
For something as down-to-earth as corn silage, subliminal advertising doesn't make sense.
High tonnage.
Corn silage hybrids from DuPont Pioneer offer top-notch yields and high quality.
Truckload tonnage.
There's high starch, high tonnage, and several BMR options.
Shift the scales.
Those options are just one part of a total feed solution that includes alfalfa, inoculants, and grain corn.
Quality in.
And the silage zone resource, which offers support all year long.
Quality out.
Talk to your local Pioneer sales professional about corn silage and BMR options that fit your operation.
The last quarter hour for a Friday edition of the Dr. Stanley Montes Show has just begun, and my name is Dave Wilson, talking with Andrew Skousen this morning about what's going on in the world. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, to go to worldaffairsbrief.com to access a free copy of the brief and all the other current event stuff that Andrew puts up there. I've been a subscriber for, oh gosh, a long time, since you were in print, Andrew, and, watching what's going on, watching the changes coming over the world. And once again, we find ourselves in a constant state of war. Our country has been at war since the beginning of this century. There hasn't been a day where we don't have our precious blood and treasure somewhere around diluting the ability to protect us. And now we're getting involved in this Middle Eastern chaos with ISIS, FSA, all the other people that are over there. And my take on the mindset of the people that we're dealing with comes from my having then gone to pilot training with people from Iraq and Iran and a couple of other places over there in the early 60s. And it was very, very strange to talk to them about how they think. They don't think the way people in Western culture think, and that's what bothers me so much, because no attention seems to be given to that by our powers that be, that we are in a war with a people who do not act and react like we do. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, Dave, that's part of the reason why the globalists are so keen to get involved over there, is that this is sort of a natural tinderbox. You know, the Arabs and the people in that part of the world have always been prone to being whipped up into enough of a fervor against something that they can be used more easily to go to war. You know, most people are more naturally pacifist, that they would actually live out their lives, making their livings and establishing themselves, rather than being whipped up into a mindset that is so strong that they will go out and fight, you know, send money and materiel to get men to work and actually try to kill another group of people. It's definitely a hard thing for the globalists to do, and yet this is a critical aspect of the globalists. People will naturally fractionate into various autonomous regions of their own ilk unless they have this motivation to sort of band together because of an external threat, you know, and a lot of these external threats are created to be able to make people fearful, and this is what we saw with Scotland giving up their option for independence. Here was this fear of all of the things that we would have to do to be able to be our own country. It's just too much. No, give me security. Give me take whatever freedoms you need to, but give me safety from these threats that are actually, you know, put forth out there. We were just talking about how much even ISIS itself must be controlled. You know, last week we talked about how Mossad, the Israeli secret service, is incredibly good at getting agents into all different levels of their antagonists. You know, of the countries around them. So they have operatives in even the higher levels of management and direction of most of their enemies. You know, they have some of the best spies within Iran, and surely have them within Syria and with the Free Syrian Army. And the Mossad works hand-in-hand with U.S. black operations, and so it's pretty easy for the U.S. to manipulate things over there using the operatives of the Mossad, as well as the large powers of money of the Saudis. You know, the Saudis have so much money with oil, and as we've documented in past briefs, they have worked very closely with the U.S., doing the U.S. bidding, because the U.S. protects the Saudi royal family from the repercussions of their negative lifestyle. And but getting back to Syria, this is a very difficult situation over there for even us and Joel specifically to untangle, because it gets quite complex. Even things that happened less than a week ago can sort of be seen in a little bit different light here. There was an interesting story that emerged in the press last week. Here I'll quote from one of sides. This is Breitbart, had a story that said, quote, nearly 50 senior commanders of a major coalition of Islamic moderates opposed to ISIS in Syria have been killed by an explosion at their secret command bunker as they met to discuss strategy against the Islamic State. The blast in the northwest region of Idlib, Syria, on Tuesday killed senior members of rebel group the Arar al-Sham Brigade, AAS, including the leader, Hassan Aboud, and 45 others, including senior members from other rebel alliance groups, reports the Times. The Idlib region stands in AAS territory, but is close to the front line with ISIS in neighboring Aleppo. And there's some dispute about what the source of the blast was, whether it was a car bomb. Reading between the lines of some of the news stories, that seems unlikely. It seemed like most of the members, I mean, this is quite a lot of people to be killed all at once. I mean, this was a very successful, killing of these people. And, it was reported in another news story that most of them died because of smoke inhalation, because of the black acrid smoke that enveloped the meeting room that they were in. Mm-hmm. And that kind of thing doesn't happen because of a car bomb that goes off. You know, that would blast a big hole in the room. You wouldn't get smoke, you know, staying tight within there. And so,
and it's impossible to tell who might have infiltrated that group, who knew about that group. Such a large mass killing takes more than just a phone call and say, go over there, deal and take care of that this morning. There's a lot of planning going on. And it's the kind of thing that smacks of highly organized people.
Right.
We're going to be back in just a moment with our last couple minutes with Andrew Skousen. Please don't go away.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes, or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial scale power. Great Plains Power is a full service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom design system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14 and 15.
Well, the last few minutes of a Friday's edition of the Dr. Stanley Montes Show have begun. Our guest, Andrew Skousen, has been telling us what's been going on this past week. And, Andrew, we're going to have to put off the conclusion, I suppose, like we could come to a conclusion about current events until next Friday when we get together again. But what do you think people ought to be watching in the media and in their newspapers so that they can stay abreast, if only superficially, about what's going on in the world? Will you take 60 seconds and kind of explain a little bit of that to us?
Yes, well, I think people need to watch, you know, what the effect is of going to be, you know, don't, you know, read between the lines of what the politicians are saying and actually look at what the effect of these actions are going to be. You know, we saw Congress voting in favor of arming the Free Syrian Army to supposedly battle ISIS. But what is really going to be the effect of that? Well, the money is going to go to people that are actually fighting against Assad. So these extra funds are actually going to go to destabilize the Assad regime there, which we see as being a larger globalist initiative. You know, some of the globalist initiatives are being delayed. You know, they aren't getting everything that they want out of things. They still have to work with what they've got. We think that they had wanted to attack Iran a long time ago. And these are all important things because it's buying us who are in the preparedness community a little bit more time to get our preparedness stuff together. It seems like the hand of providence is working to slow down the globalist initiatives. And this is important to us. They seem to have had to create ISIS to be able to engender another excuse to get back into the Middle East, which they were losing before because of the growing anti-war movement. And this is important that people not put off. I think that we are being given a little bit extra reprieve here to get our things together and to prepare ourselves. But it's still coming. They are not giving up. They are taking whatever measures are necessary. You know, this ISIS is driving more conflict over there, and we are all embroiled again. France is bombing them again today and yesterday, and this is something that they won't take no for an answer for, and we will see.
They won't. It's a long, long process. The opposition to freedom, the opposers of freedom, are extremely patient. Andrew, thank you for being with us this morning. We'll talk to you again Friday as the Lord carries, and greet everybody out there who's working so hard for us. Bye-bye now.
Yes, and thank you for your help, Dave. It's a pleasure to have you step in. Our hearts go out to Dr. Stan, and we'll keep praying that the right thing works out for him there.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I do have to try to give a little bit of a commercial message here for Radio Liberty this morning. You know, the phone number is 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And when the lady answers the phone there, just ask her for a copy of the Radio Liberty resource list.